Adult Authors. I'm Joanne Morrell, children's and young adult fiction writer and author of Short Nonfiction for Authors. Thanks for joining me for the Hybrid Author Podcast, sharing interviews from industry professionals to help you forge a career as a hybrid author, both independently and traditionally publishing your books. You can get the show notes for each episode and sign up for your free author pass over at the Hybrid Author website to discover your writing process, get tips on how to publish productively, and get comfortable promoting your books at www.hybridauthor.com.au. Let's crack on with the episode.
Hello, authors. I hope you're all keeping well in whatever part of the world you reside and listen to the podcast in. Today's interview is a loaner sold from me on 4 years of the Hybrid Author Podcast and turning 40. So we won't have any author update or anything like that, author adventure, because it's a lot of talking from me anyways. So without further ado, let's crack on with the episode. So the Hybrid Author Podcast started in May 2021. I put my first episode out on the 10th of May, and I haven't looked back. And for that first year, so I began the podcast as a way of marketing my books. I started my author adventure studying writing and learning as much as I could about writing and publishing, from doing certificates in creative writing and going to lots of festivals, author book launches, author events, joining organisations such as Squibby, because I wrote children's fiction back then, the Children's Book Council of Australia, all sorts. I was involved in everything. And one of the other things that I was an avid listener of was podcasts, to learn about the industry as well. And I just couldn't get enough, you know, podcasts on books and publishing and writing. And, you know, the ones that the first that I ever listened to was So You Want to Be a Writer by the Australian Writers' Centre, Valerie Koo, and at the time, Alison Tate, and the Creative Pen podcast with Joanna Penn, that is pretty much self-publishing based, publishing options. She talks about a lot of different things, and she's currently trying to get a traditional deal as well. I listened to them for a good part of 10 years, and it was Joanna Penn from the Creative Pen podcast that inspired me to start this podcast. And mine's the way that I kind of have the intro and the outro, and the formatting of the podcast is very loosely based on how Joanna runs her episodes. I'm very pleased to have had both Joanna Penn and Valerie Koo and Alison Tate on the podcast. And those were pretty big milestones for me, to have the podcast hosts from the podcast that I feel helped shape my podcast and start my own podcast, and have their hosts come on. Mine was definitely a highlight of my podcasting adventure so far. And so, yeah, for me, I felt like podcasting, I used to buy Joanna Penn's books through the podcast. So it was a way, I felt, a good way to reach a global audience and a substantial audience quite quickly and swiftly. And currently, that I decided to start my podcast. So that was why I started it, as a way to sell my books. Sell and market them, I suppose. But within 4 years of doing the Hybrid Author Podcast, what has it become? You know, hybrid, I started the term the hybrid author because I started out writing children's fiction, and then I self-published 2 non-fiction books for authors. And I was looking for traditional representation at the time for the children's fiction. And so I just felt, when, you know, I'd been doing that initially and then did the short nonfiction, and thought, oh gosh, I've already put myself out there as a children's author. How am I there then going to put myself out there for nonfiction? And I was struggling as a mother of 2, you know, wife at the time, doing other work, paid work for other individuals, struggling to find the time to even show up in one genre, let alone 2. So I had to find something that sort of brought all my writing endeavors together, because I write under different pen names. So you could say, oh, you could just use your name, but no, I write under Joanne Morrell for my nonfiction, JZ Morrell for my children's fiction, and most recently for my women's fiction, my pseudonym Zara Ellen, which is my middle names. The genres are different. And for me, hybrid just felt like a good term, because in the beginning, I thought about it in the publishing aspect of, you know, there's I'm not just trying to find a traditional publisher for all my work. I'm not just self-publishing all my work. I'm doing lots of different things, quite varied. And so I started off with the publishing aspect of mind for hybrid. But as in the 4 years I've been running the podcast, what I absolutely love is, of course, I'm still getting authors come through who are talking about being hybrid through their publishing endeavors. But I have had lots of other authors come through who are hybrid within their own rights for other things. And they've turned coins off in all these different directions. And it absolutely inspires me and blows my mind, because I like to think I'm not someone who is just straight-laced. This is the way you do it. One way of doing things. I believe that the term is actually quite a personality trait of mine too. Not just going down one path. Like I'm all in all the paths, really. So I don't know, you know, whether that's a good thing or not, but it's definitely something that feels like me. And so some of the highlight episodes that these other hybrid avenues kind of shone a light on was just most recently, episode 167, Joanne Merrick, hybrid in including in her book, her nonfiction book, Game On, is Management the Best Career Play. Joanne talks about how her book, she's written print assessments and digital version for her book. So she's incorporating not just formatting of print, but she's doing digital versions as well. And it's not the format of the book, but it's actually the style of the assessments. And I just thought that was really clever. Episode 119, Zach Rogow, his book is what he describes as a hybrid memoir, which is based off of facts, you know, letters that he found from his father that the whole memoir was about. But he also filled it out with fictional conversations he believed would have taken place, but, you know, had made up because everybody is not alive to obviously ask. And he calls it a hybrid collage, where he was taking bits from real life and putting it in the pages, but then he was also adding bits in. And that's got such a whimsical feel to me. Episode 63, Pip Harry, children's author. She writes, it's a hybrid writing style. She writes narrative, you know, she writes prose, but she puts in poetry within her narrative style. So she's mixing around with writing styles, which is really bold and brave, and I just think works really well, and it's a very interesting concept. Episode 146, Republishing Traditional Books to Self-Publishing. That was Ari Rosenstein. Also, you know, across the way, we've come across lots of authors who write across genres, myself included. You know, we're just starting to talk about different creative industries, adaptations of work, which is actually a real passion of mine. You know, book to TV, book to film, music to book, book to music, lots of different things there. And I'm going to be talking more about that on the show going forward, because that's a real interest of mine. And so, yeah, I feel like the podcast, what started out just with one concept, has kind of gone full circle as people have discovered it or connected with it. How the podcast has changed in 4 years. Well, I started out, as said, in 2021. And for the first year, I was a fortnightly podcast. I released episodes every fortnight just to see if I could keep up momentum. I knew that podcasting, especially from listening to them and just from advice, that consistency on release was important. And I just didn't know whether I could keep it up or whether I liked it. It's a hell of a lot of work, as I've found out. And I also found out that I absolutely love podcasting. So after the first year, I turned weekly. I've never looked back, and the listenership has doubled in size from the more content I've put out, to the point where I'm now at in my fourth year and putting out double episodes. So it's more about trying to build my episode numbers, because last year, due to personal reasons in my personal life, just kind of going askew, you know, separation on the cusp of divorce, whole life turned around really. There's been a few episodes that have been a bit all over the place and missed the consistency for the podcast. My working life has changed, and I just was trying it a few different days, especially more towards the end of the year, going for Sundays and now aiming for kind of Tuesdays, Thursdays mainly, but leaving it more open-ended to be weekly episodes. And I'm trying my best to stick to a consistent thing, but I'm also being kind to myself in the sense that sometimes it doesn't happen for me, and that's okay, because I've been dealing with a lot. And I appreciate everybody's, you know, patience. And the way that I now listen to podcasts is I just subscribe to some, but I'm sort of in and out of them. And I think a lot of people are. And for me personally, podcasts, I don't go to them for a way of entertainment. I go to them because I'm trying to learn something new. And so my podcast's listening has changed in the sense that I once was listening to writing and publishing podcasts. I've now changed pace and I'm listening to financial ones, property investment. I do listen to friends' podcasts as well. I've got mates in Scotland, shout out Crime Divers. So I listen to some true crime podcasts, people I know. I still dip into the writing podcast to find out what's going on. You can never know enough. But for me, podcasting is an educational tool. And that is how I feel my podcast is. I'm trying to provide value to the writing community. But I'm also learning a lot myself. And so I'm still getting an education as I continue to interview people. So interview style in the beginning was, you know, it's always been online. And I was sourcing guests in the beginning, obviously being a new podcast. And then come the second year, I was getting pitched. And the third year, now in the fourth year, yeah, I don't have to be chasing people down unless it's conversations I want to have myself. I'm being discovered, which is great. And it makes my life a lot easier. Editing process has changed this year. I'm using different programs, trying to make my process a bit faster because it's a lot. For me, podcasting in the past used to take a whole day from initial contact with the guest to the interview to the editing to the all out. I'm a one woman band. I don't have the funds to pay a team for something like that. At least I didn't in the past. So this year I have had to make a call, you know, monetize the podcast or pull the plug. And so that's what I've done. The podcast is now what I call pay to play, and I charge guests for the time it costs me to produce an episode. And I feel they get great value for money. It's also, you know, there's social media boosting on there, which is paid advertising. It's, you know, there's video content I'm using now. They're getting a lot. And yeah, so it's win-win all round, I feel. Marketing and authors, you know, you do have to set marketing budget aside, I've found. And so any monies that is coming back in is getting invested back into the business, which is great. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. This is a different model this year. So yeah, but it's funny how it evolves. Like it evolves as well for your personal preference. And I guess that goes for our whole writing lives as well. What the whole purpose was of the podcast was to market my books, and the podcast in itself has become its own beast. And, you know, because it is earning an income as well, that's taking a lot of my time. It's pushed me to reach out and hire another staff member. It has all sorts of things, but I love it. I love talking to people. I get a lot of energy from it. People inspire me. Their stories are great. And I also feel like as a writer, I'm still producing a style of story. It's not my own, it's someone else's, but I'm prompting them to tell me their certain aspects of a topic. And I'm sharing this with the writing community. So I'm also giving back, which is kind of important to me too. So what have I learned in 4 years of the Hybrid Author Podcast? That I can be disciplined. I can be consistent. I can stick to structure. I can go after something and give it my all. I have learned that, you know, I'm resilient, I'm relentless, and I'm not afraid to go after what I want. The things I feared in the beginning, I used to be so nervous to talk to people, and I still get nervous talking to new people, but not as nervous as I used to, and hide behind, you know, no screen. Now the video's on and I'm all right with it, which is crazy. The podcast has actually helped me articulate myself via words, audio, being able to talk in this way and communicate in this way. And I'm not afraid of public speaking anymore. Like I used to be, I used to get such fear and such anxiety around it, honestly. And now I know that I can just fill a gap, fill a void. Because you always worry, one of the fears is, I think, when you stand up to speak to people is, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my train of thought. I'm going to sound like an idiot. I'm all these things. And what's great about podcasting is that you can edit out all that. You make yourself sound really smart. In real life, it's a bit different. But I found that my conversational skills, because of the podcast, have just got grown outstanding. Like I used to be called Mouse when I was younger. I was apparently a very shy, quiet child that used to hide when adults spoke to me. And I don't know what happened, but she's done a 180, and now I'm out there in front of people sharing my thoughts and feelings. And I never really thought I had much to share in terms of the way I think about things and whatnot. But this whole podcast ambition writing career has made me realize that it's very important for me to get down my thoughts and feelings and stuff. It's a way of me getting it out of me, because otherwise it just, I carry it and some of it's pretty heavy. How have I grown and changed with the podcast over the 4 years? Well, the podcast has made me value myself. I honestly have had thoughts, even as much hard work I've put in, unpaid, free time, hard work that I've dedicated to this podcast. And there's been benefits that I've gotten from it as well, but I've put a lot of blood, sweat and tears into this, and money. And, you know, now that I'm charging for my time, that's one way that I can say, hey, my time's valuable and it, you know, means something. The where I'm at in my life, the time that I give to this has to be earning me dollars, because I'm now a single parent. I'm supporting children. There's lots to it, but it's not just that. Like, I'm at a point where I think what I'm doing is worth of value, and I think I'm giving value to A, the guest, and B, the community as well. So, but it's in the beginning, if I thought I'd be charging people or just charging anything for me, I just don't think I held myself in very high regard, or my time, or what I have to offer. And now I do. And now I'm very, you know, you get the odd person who's, they don't pay for podcasts, and that's fine. That's absolutely fine. I'm at a point where I can see the people that are coming on who do pay, because they know that the difference between paying for marketing and doing the free stuff, and there's not a lot of free stuff out there these days. And I see where we're saturated with probably AI, lots and lots of content. Paying sometimes can be the only way, but obviously understand that not everyone can pay and it is hard and whatnot. I'm also an author on a budget and I get it. I do. I'm also trying to earn a living. This is a business for me. It's a career. This is what this podcast is about. It's about career authorship. It's not about aspiring to write for fun. And that's great. That's really good. But I have not spent 4 years at uni, all the other years studying, all the precious time that I've put in, not for it to earn me money. And I think that some people, that annoys some people in the industry maybe, but I don't want to talk about the crumbs of the publishing industry. I want to talk about the good money that you can make, and you can make good money from this. People are doing it. So I want to be that kind of message rather than I'm doing this for the love of it, but not for the wage, because it is a job to me as much as a passion. So in answer to my own question, I've grown with the podcast. My whole persona has changed because of it. I've gained confidence. I've been inspired. I've passionate, and I've faced fears and overcome them. So what will the next 4 years of the podcast look like? Well, I have no idea whether this podcast will still be running in 4 years' time. As I said, this year was it needs to monetize or I pull the plug. And who knows what next year's going to be. The way that the podcast is at the moment, I don't know if it's sustainable. I don't know if it will continue. So far, guests are still trickling in paying. And I don't know. Is my content still going to be relevant? Is it still going to be valid? Are people still going to enjoy it? I'm not sure. But if I can see anything, is that it does change. It has changed. I can see it changing. It's not going to be unpaid at any point. But I think that there will be different sort of models or different tiers in terms of payment as it grows and the audience grows with it, which is obviously what's been happening over the years. So that's what I think. I think that so far, you know, I'm at double episodes a week. Guests are paying to come on, but they're getting fast promotion from it. They're getting a lot. And it's not a case of anyone can still come on. There is an acceptance process. I don't just take anybody, to be honest. It's got to be relevant to the audience. It's got to be fresh concepts and ideas and topics that we've not touched upon. And yeah, that's what matters to me. So I don't think those values will change. I've talked about in the past, you know, authenticity and honesty and all that is part of the Hybrid Author Podcast values. And so that's never going to change. I'm still going to be the human here narrating the podcast. it crossed my mind that you can get these AI speakers and stuff like that, but it just doesn't feel right to me. And I think that emotion and human connection is what's important, especially, well, it is for me on my podcast anyway. In some ways, I look at that thinking of an AI podcast persona and I think, wow, you know, that will save me money. No, not money, but that will save me time. You just type it in and it'll record it. But I've seen these and I think that they'll get to a really good stage. They already are at one, but I saw a lady who'd created an AI of her. And I mean, you can still tell it's robotic and it just, I didn't like it that much, to be honest. And I think that it's still really important for me to show up and share my author adventure in the flesh. So when this episode goes out, I will have turned 40 years old. I was born in 1985 and I honestly cannot believe I will be 40. As I record this, I don't feel 40. I feel like a really immature 20-year-old. And maybe that's the key for I don't know, staying younger or whatever, who knows. But 40, thinking about 40, age doesn't really bother me. I haven't really ever been one of these people that's like, hey, I don't want to get old, or, you know, I'm turning this age. I really have never been that way. For me, getting older is a blessing. A couple years back, three of our very good mates all passed away, three males, just shy of 40. So in my mind the other day when was clouded by this, I can't help how I feel. Like when I think about turning 40, I'm actually a bit petrified. I don't know why. I don't feel 40 and fabulous, put it that way. I don't feel 40 and like a fossil either. I just feel weird about it. It's I can't really explain it. It's odd. I don't know where it's come from or why I am creeped out by it. But I initially quietened those voices. I went for a walk around the lake that I usually walk around. And I just thought to myself, you know, those three mates, shy of 40, all dying in the same year, different outcomes. They didn't get to make 40. They didn't get a chance to turn 40 years old. So quit your whining, is what I was telling myself. And be grateful for everything, because where I'm at in my life, and I'm not this big, I'm grateful goddess person, I'm not. But, you know, you can change your mindset when you do think about the things in your life and what you are grateful for. And then an extension of the world outside of your mind, because I very much live inside of my mind as a writer. I'm sure as yourself, as a creative, you too spend a lot of time alone and with your thoughts and in your head. And it's a lot. Like, it's a lot. Sometimes it pays to get out of your head. That's why I make a point of getting out the house, like to make sure that I do leave the house. That's really important, because time will just pass and then you realize, geez, has it been, feels like it's been a day or two. Have I left the house? Because you're in your own bubble doing your own work and it's just insane. So yeah, I had to say, shut up to myself and celebrate being 40. I am not doing what I thought, well, what I aspired to do when I was 40, which I've always wanted to go to Canada. Now, I have tried to get there once or twice in my life already and big events has stopped it from happening. So there's a reason I feel that I'm not over there at this time. I know it's going to happen. It will happen one day, because me in Canada, although I've never been there, I don't know what it is about there, but I've just always wanted to go there. I've always felt some sort of connection with it. I love the decor. A moose is my favorite animal. I just really want to go there. So it's not to be for 40, so never mind. But I am celebrating with those I love. And going for a very fancy dinner and, yeah, you know, staying in a fancy hotel. I'm also doing a get together with close friends and doing something a bit wacky, like when it is one of these murder mystery dinners. And so I think that'll be really fun. And again, for me, getting older is about new experiences. So these things are all new experiences for me. Going to a place I've never been for dinner, I've never stayed at this hotel, and I've never done a murder mystery night. So I'm quite happy with my choices for 40. In thinking about gratefulness, I've got so much in my life compared to others out there, you know, doing it tough and these wars and all this stuff. I can't complain, for goodness sake, and I should be happy to have made it to 40 when so many others don't. And who want to live. But it's, I acknowledge my feelings about turning 40, and it's absolutely fine to feel a bit freaked out. And the reason I do is because it feels mature. I've never thought I was immature, but It feels really mature. Like, there's never turning back. I know you can never go back. You can only go forward. But it just feels a bit scarier than 30. I don't think I really cared about 30, but 40 feels quite scary. And it feels like, maybe it's scary because it feels like you're supposed to have your life together by that age. And mine's literally has fallen apart within the last 2 years. Marriage breakdown, you know, effectively living back at my parents' house, you know, in between finding permanent places to live, permanent other, oh my gosh, it's just been insane. So maybe that's why it feels a bit scary. But I also feel like I'm shedding, transforming, I suppose is the word, into the person I am supposed to be, because I am a true believer of everyone's lives are mapped out for them. So if I am a true believer of that, then I should really just trust the universe is going to come through for me. But sometimes that's really hard because it's effectively trusting the unknown. But then that's what we do as authors, isn't it? We put our heart and soul out there. We trust that what we're working on is going to find its people, find its way. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But that is what my existence is all been about. Even this profession, it's all unknown, but trusting it's all going to work out for the best. And something that's scary at times, other times it fits my personality. It's exhilarating. I am a bit of a risk taker at times. I'm not someone who's straight-laced and just all the things. I'm really a bit of both. I am hybrid. All of me is hybrid. It's absolutely insane. So professionally, turning 40, I feel like I'm on the way to be doing, I feel like I'm trusting myself, trusting the process, trusting that everything's going to work out professionally, how I want it to, trusting that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing and I'm becoming the person that I was always meant to be. And it is like a storytelling moment. Like I talked about that shy little child that was called Mouse to the woman, although I don't feel really like that now, who stands up in front of people and feels exactly confident, happy, excited about what she's sharing and what she's been through. Helping others, that's my way of helping others get ahead in their writing, publishing, podcasting endeavors, and just being the person that I'm meant to be. And that's what our characters are like in our stories, aren't they? They start one way, they end up another. And that's exactly what we are in life as well. So who knows, maybe I'll still be here podcasting at 50. Don't even want to say that word because that's a bit scarier. That's even more scarier. But if I am, who knows? Who knows what that next one will be? Personally, all I've hoped for, especially after the couple of years I've been through, is just peace and love. And I actually have that now. So I don't know if I'm 40 and fabulous, but I'm definitely faking 40 and fabulous. I'm definitely 40 and faking fabulous, maybe. And yeah, I'd love to hear if anybody else's thoughts on 40, but it's funny how it's 4 years of the podcast and 40, you know, all the fours when I've always been a kind of number three gal. Next time on the Hybrid Author Podcast, we have Rosie Chanel on writing good mystery books for kids and Outback Noir. Rosie Chanel is the author of middle grade mystery, Breaking School Rules is Easy. The hardest part is not getting caught. This is her debut novel. Rosie has a Bachelor of Arts and a Master of Special Education. She has taught English at all levels in schools and specialised in teaching students with learning difficulties. She also volunteers at schools and organisations that teach reading, including teaching newly arrived adult migrants. She loves a game of pickleball, outrigging on pit water, and volunteers as a crisis supporter at Lifeline. Rosie lives with her husband and has three adult children she raised to love books as much as she does. She spends her time between Balmain and the northern beaches of Sydney. So that's coming up. I wish you well on your author adventure this next week. That's it from me. Bye for now.
That's the end for now, authors. I hope you are further forward in your author adventure after listening, and I hope you'll listen next time. Remember to head on over to the Hybrid Author website at www.hybridauthor.com.au to get your free author pass. It's bye for now.